at the Michala Torah Shaga bus stop. There's a lot of action going on over there, and I try to round up some of the boys and save them. I wasn't successful. I got Ethan. I saved him. But most of them are still there. If anyone wants to do like a mitzvah talk with Chofish Rabbi Zinkin, go to the bus stop. Yeah, I think it's some of the thing is for Kirov purposes. Heta Kirov.
Well, who's doing the Kirov?
This arm? I don't know what I did to it. I think I slept on it all day. It's been like not moving.
Okay. So I want to ask a question. It's a question that bothered me for years and years and years when I was your age, until I finally got a satisfactory answer, which I want to share with you tonight. And that question is the following thing. We know, let me just read to you from the Rambam. Kevin Shirah, this is the Rambam, Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet. Kevin Shirah Ezra, of Beis Dinai. Kach, Omdu, V'tiknu Lehem, Shmoyna Esri, Brachais, Ala Seder. Gimel Rishenais, Shevach Lashem. Gimel Achroyas, Achroynes, Hida. Dem Tzoyos, Yesh Behem, She'elef Kol Advarim. So the Rambam brings down the Halacha, that the Shmoyna Esri is divided into three components. Component number one is what's called Shevach. That means when you come to a king, the first thing you do is you praise him, you tell him his praises. The last three is called Haidah. This is called the secondary, the end. If you thank him, you show your appreciation. And in the middle, you have the centerpiece. In the middle, you have what's called She'elas Kol Advarim. So some of you remember this from last year, we learned brachos. It's very complex. What exactly does the Rambam hold? Does he hold all three are Doraisa? Maybe only the center one is Doraisa. The bottom line is the Rambam is based from a Gemara in Brachos Lamed Daled, the Amar of Chanina, Rishonos Deime Le'eved Shemesada Shevach Lifnei Rabbi. This is the way it is. Before you speak to a king, you don't just ask him for your needs. You first of all you say, "Oh, great and mighty king," and etc. 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 Then Emtzoyos Deime Le'eved Shemavakish Pras Mirabbi. So here you're asking him what you need. This is what we call Avoida, where the Eved stands in front of the king and says, "I cannot survive without you." That's the essence of what we need. And then Achroinois, Deima Le'Eved, Shekibul Pras Mirabbi. So there, what do you do? Once you get what you need, you say thank you. If you remember, early on this year, it's the quote from, I think it was Rabbi Kiva Eger. Rabbi Kiva Eger used to say that when he used to daven, he had such a sense of connection in his middle 13 brachos that he knew already by Ritzei, by the thank yous, whether or not a Kodesh Baruch was going to answer him. This is obviously a madrega that we can just aspire to, but the idea is definitely that. The middle 13, we ask him for our needs, and the last three, we're basically thanking a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The Mabit, the Rishon, called the Mabit in the Sefer Beis Elokim, has got a whole arichus. And he basically says something that, so everyone over here, is self-evident. Why is it that we need to talk to Kodesh Baruch Hu like with a flesh and blood king? Kodesh Baruch Hu does not need us, so to speak, sucking up to him. You know, oh, great and mighty God, you are Godol, you are Gibor, you are Nora. It sounds like Kodesh Baruch Hu has no ego. Kodesh Baruch Hu is infinite. He is beyond time and space, and all the little petty needs of humanity is something that's beyond him. So what's the purpose of Shevach? And what's the purpose of Hadar? And the answer is, it's for us. Thank you, Isaac Atier from San Diego. Excellent. It is for us. The whole thing is for us. Kodesh Baruch Hu, and really the Anshei Knesset Gedola, who formalized the Shmoneh Esrei, wants the relationship to be as real as possible, so they designed the whole construct of Shmoneh Esrei to look like real life. In real life, down here, when you go to a king, so you praise, and then you realize, as you're praising, you realize who the king is, you realize the greatness of the king, the malchus of the king becomes very real to you, and then you're ready to really show, tell him your needs, to tell him that we need you to survive, and finally, at the end, we express hakaras hatov. So this is all for us, it's all to build us up and to make the relationship between us and the Kodesh Baruch Hu as real as possible. So now, ladies, gentlemen, Peruvians, wherever you may come from, this is the big question that has bothered me for years and years and years. And that is, one of the three thank yous that we say at the end, is actually the last bracha of the Shemona Esrei, is called Sim Shalom. What is Sim Shalom? Give us peace. Now, I don't know about you, but when I think about needs, when you think about needs, so obviously we have health needs, obviously we have parnasa needs, obviously we have Geula Yeshua needs, but really, if you think about what would be, should be the climax of our needs, is Shalom. You have a look in the Teichacha. The Teichacha talks about what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to do to punish us. So that's always is. V'nasati Shalom Ba'aretz, and then I will take it away. Shalom is the biggest gift of all. Trust me, if I had to tell you, you know, I took about, well, really sickness is right up there, but Shalom bias issues, and people that are constantly fighting with their neighbors, they go through Gehenna, especially Shalom bias. Shalom bias, it ruins a person's life if you don't have Shalom between you and the person who should be closest to you, so nothing's there. And on a much bigger level, if you have enemies that are there to kill you, so nothing is functional. The city of Sderot, Rahman al-Islam, became dysfunctional because there's no Shalom, because they're being attacked the whole time. So Shalom is an essential need of humanity. Shalom means I can work with my fellow man. Shalom has different levels of Shalom. And Shalom can be a primitive level where there's no war, or Shalom could be at the highest level where every person is harmonizing with everybody else, everyone's trying to help each other out. So surely, when you talk about Shalom, Shalom should be one of the 13 needs of man. This is a question that bothered me. Hopefully I'll give you the next couple of minutes a satisfactory answer. But before I do that, I have two small technical questions. The first small technical question is the word Sim Shalom. The word Sim, what does Sim mean? A place, okay? Place, peace. Now, generally speaking, the word Sim Shalom would seem out of place. Now, we know, where are the Kohanim over here? Any Kohanim? Ethan. Aha! Everyone knows my Talmud Ethan over there? Okay, Ethan, why do we say Sim Shalom? Because every morning when you stand up there, right a couple of feet from where I am now, what do you say? V'yasem lecha shalom. Right? So you say V'yasem. What does it mean? I will place peace. So I ask him to place peace. So the Avodram points out, which is always the case, that the whole Shemona Esrei is really based on pre-existing Pesukim, is what he points out. So he said, Sim Shalom is based on the Pesukim. But that only begs the question. It begs the question, why is it that way? Why is it that the bracha that we ask, that the Kohanim say, Kodesh Baruch Hu, should give us peace, that we all know, this is a quote from the Gemara of the Mishnah, actually in Uksin, in Perek Gimel, Ein lecha kli shemachzik bracha yesim in hashalom. If you want real bracha, if you want real blessing, so the greatest expression of blessing is shalom, everything comes together. So why do you use the strange word called Sim Shalom? You should say, Tain, okay, you want God to give something, it's Tain Shalom. Everything, like we said, you know, we don't say it now, we say the same bracha, but when we need rain, we say the same Talamat Levracha, give us rain. So here it should be the same, the word Sim, which is a place peace. And what exactly does Shalom need, Sima? What does it mean to place peace? So this is a phrase, I want to show you a deeper understanding, the word Sim Shalom. And my second itsy-bitsy question is about the whole construct of the bracha Sim Shalom. And if you ever looked at Sim Shalom, normally we don't, because the end of Shon Esrei, okay, well, whatever it is, it's like you're already gearing up. Your last hurrah is when you do your own additions in Elkai Netzar. But really, Sim Shalom, very hard to have kavanah over that. Towards the end, you're exhausted. You're ready, some of you are like rushing to catch Kedusha. But the bottom line, if you look at Sim Shalom, it is built like a trapezium, Say it right, Josh? Look at me, everyone. Okay, like that, and then like this, and then like that. What does that mean? There's like seven steps up, and then there's like a centerpiece, and then there's seven steps down. So what does it mean? Sim Shalom. How do you do Sim Shalom? So you've got seven ways. Teva, Uvracha, Chain, V'chesed, V'rachamim, Aleinu, V'al Kol Yisrael Amecha. So those are the seven ways of Sim Shalom. So that's the way it goes. So you've got seven steps up. Then afterwards, bless us, O Father. And then we explain why. And then we say another seven. And then you're back down again. You're back to Shalom again. So you've got these seven. In the middle, the top of the hill, are these words. Bachenu Avinu, blesses ki kolanu ke'echad ba'ar panecha. As it comes out, if I'm saying it right, the bracha is built like this trapezium, and the centerpiece is we ask Kodesh Baruch Hu for bracha. Why? What's wrong? What's wrong, David? The bracha is ki ba'ar panecha nesatlanu. We want to be in your ar, ki ba'ar panecha, in the light of your face. That's what we want to be. So Baruch Hashem, I see you'll have a shining face over here. Ar panecha, ar panim. What does it mean? We ask the Kodesh Baruch Hu, ki ba'ar panecha, nesnafta Hashem lekenu, teiretz chaim. What does it mean, ba'ar panecha? What exactly is the reference of ar panecha over here? Now, so let me just summarize. I have a few more questions. I'm looking at the clock. I want to do this quickly. But the thing is as follows. Basically, I have one huge question and two little questions that I'm going to answer as well. The huge question is why do we ask for Shalom Dafka at the end of the Shemona Esrei, at that part where we're supposed to be saying thank you? This is after Modim. This is after Ritzeh. And at the end, suddenly we're asking for Shalom at the very end. It's in the wrong place. It's the 19th Bracha. It is the last three. The last trilogy is all about saying thank you. So what's it doing over here? Rabbi Roblowski, could you break up the thing at the bus stop? You've tried. Oh, no one, really? Are you such a tzaddik? Okay, Baruch Hashem, very happy. Okay. I know it's good for recruitment, but whatever. Okay, so now, the joke. Does everyone know Yossi Cement? He got out specially for bed to come here. This is like a big thing. Okay, so let me summarize for those that have just joined us. There's three simple questions. The big one is why is Shalom, which is one of Klal Yisrael's needs, why is Shalom at the end of the Shemona Esrei? It should be amongst the 13 needs. The second question, what is the phrase Sim Shalom? Sim Shalom means put or place, peace. It should be Tain Shalom, the proper grammatical uses. You want Hashem to give us something, so tell Him to give it. The Hebrew word for to give is Nesina. There should be Tain Shalom. And finally, what exactly is the way that this bracha is constructed? It seems to be everything is Musuvav. Everything. If you imagine this bracha as a wheel, and the centerpiece of which everything revolves around is his words Ha'aretz Panim, Ki Bi'ar Panecha Nesatu Lanu. We're asking everything should be underneath his light. His light, L'chayr, has got nothing to do with Shalom. Shalom is a Bein Adam L'chaver need. Shalom means I want to get on with my wife. Shalom means I want to get on with my neighbor. Shalom is my country wants to get on with the next country. Shalom means yeshivas should get on with each other. And different streams and Klal Yisrael. These are all Shalom needs that we have in Allah Chadera. What's that got to do with Ha'aretz Panim? Ha'aretz Panim is a Ruchni sticker aspiration to be in a Kodesh Baruch Hu's light. Everything's good?
Yeah.
You're happy? Okay, so here we go. I want to say over Big Yisod. This is not a Big Yisod, it's a Big Yisod. I mean, it's talking about, it's like it's right up there. It's one of what's called the foundation blocks of Klal Yisrael. And to do that, I just want to introduce it with another question. There's a sefer called Sefer Yetzirah. Sefer Yetzirah in Perek Hey brings down the following thing. Sefer Yetzirah is also mentioned in the Kuzari, what I'm about to say. But the Sefer Yetzirah, as you all know, was written by who? According to our tradition? It's Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu wrote a sefer, which is the creation of how the world works. It's got all the secrets over there. I don't know if we have a Sefer Yetzirah here. We have a Sefer Yetzirah? Josh says no, he checked. But the thing is, I know that when I was in yeshiva, it was like they used to sell it, it used to be like a thin lilac-covered book. It was very embarrassing, because it was like a very feminine color. Here would probably match a lot of the shirts over here, but it was weird. It was kind of weird, right? It was a kind of a thing. It's a very thin book. The actual Sefer Tzira is 5 short chapters. The reason why it's a book, because it comes with the Parish of the Gra, it comes with the Parish of the Riva, it's all Kabbalah. And there's a lot of stuff there that's famous, a lot of stuff that's well quoted. And one of the things that is quoted is that it says that a king has 3 dimensions. What makes a king a king? So there's 3 things in royalty. Number one is what's called Melech Bekisai, the king has a throne. That's just a code word for all the trappings of royalty. He has it comes together with a what you call it again? The crown and a throne and a scepter and these cool clothing made out of purple and scarlet and all the other trappings of royalty. So that's called Melech Bekisai. Then you have what's called Melech Bemedina. Melech Bemedina means the king and his country. So that corresponds sometimes to Melech Bemishpat. He runs his country. He oversees all the various needs of the various components of the country. That's called Melech Bemedina. The third one, called Melech Bemilchama. These are interesting things. My Rebbe pointed out that when the Rambam talks about Hilchus Malachim, he doesn't call it Hilchus Malachim. He calls it Hilchus Malachim or Milchama Yisayim. A king always has a warrior dimension, warrior. It's always a fighter. A real king is always a Muhammad. And the Rambam seems to imply in his name, Melachim or Milcham Yisayim, that it is essential. All the great kings, David and Shlomo Melech is an exception. There's a reason for it. But David and Melech all the way to the Melech HaMashiach, who wages war with Goig and Magoig and all these enemies. He'd always have what's called Melech Milcham Yisayim. So, what is incredible is that the Kodesh Baruch is in Melech, and these 3 things correspond exactly to the 3 components of the Shemoneh Esrei. The Melech Bekisai is how we describe God when we give Him praises. Your Melech Godo, your Gibbo, your Neira, your Oizah, your Mashiach, your Mogen, your Seinech Neifim, your Reis Echoli, your Melech Kodesh. These are all the praises we give Him. This, so to speak, celebrates the king on his throne. The king is now, so to speak, sitting on his throne of glory, and we give him shevach, and we laud him. Then, the middle 13 is called Melech Bemedina. This is the king who runs his country. So the king is in charge of health, and the king is in charge of parnasa, and the king is in charge of forgiving those that were errant. And the king helps with the Geulah Prayer. The king does all these things to run his Medina. Those are the middle 13. At the end, apparently, the last 3, when we're saying thank you, is the king waging war. And the end of the Kesha. Especially Shalom, which is the exact opposite of war. So if you want to say Melech B'Milchamtoi, the last thing you think of is a Yid saying thank you at the end of Shemoneh Esrei. This is the fighter king. This is the warrior king. This is the king that the Rambo dimension of kingship. Rambo's very 80s. Mm-hmm. What do you say? The Jason Bourne. Who's the big fighter, right? Who would you say? Mm-hmm. If I wanted to sound cool and with it. Mm-hmm. What? Chuck Norris. The Chuck Norris, whatever it is. Okay, talking about fighters, where's El Capitan? Where's Alex? You sleeping? You still talking to the girls? Okay, got you. Okay, so the thing is, so what's happening over here? You have over here what's called, this is not normal. You have over here Melech B'Milchamtei, a king waging war. And when the king wages war, this is what we're doing, is we're saying thank you. So here's the big issue. This third question is already half of the answer. You say thank you, and war, fighting, has something very deeply in common in the following way. So you should just know that you say what I'm about to say to you, you'll find in all the holy svarim. I saw it recently. It was written up by Rav Pinkus. He explains things always very clearly in the book Shabbos Malchusa. So you can actually see this. He writes it up at the very beginning in great detail. But this is a very, very deep concept, and it's a very, very important concept, and that is the following thing. When a Kadosh Baruch Hu is a Melech, one of the names of Malchus is Shalom. Okay, Shalom is one of the descriptions of what's called Midas HaMalchus. So how does this work? So, I don't know if you ever heard of this, of a concept called Kailo. The word Kailo very often comes in Gematria. What does it mean, it comes out in Gematria? Is that sometimes you say, okay, so this is an layer there, that Tefillah is Gematria, Tefillah with the Kailo is Gematria Kavanah Saleh. That's how it works out. So you have 515, plus the Kailo means you add the letters. So whenever you hear Im HaKailo, you add one, or you add one for each letter. So most people say, well, I guess he couldn't make the Gematria work, so you throw in the word Kailo over here. And very often, you know, we have 100 brachos you're supposed to say every day. So I can't remember offhand. The Tesis brings down, there's a pasuk mentioned the Gemara, it says it's 99 letters. So you throw in the Kailo, and you got the number 100. It's like, okay, it doesn't fit in. And you squeeze it in, so you got to throw in that thing as well. So what does it mean, Im HaKailo? Im HaKailo is a very fundamental concept. It's Yossi Tement will tell you it's in Chassidus, and of course it goes back to the holiest farm, the earliest farm, the Sifrei Kabbalah, and that is the following thing. Everything that works has something that puts it all together. What does it mean? What does it mean, for example? Over here in front of me, you got a shtender. The shtender I have in front of me has 1, 2, 3, 4 components. It has the top, has two sides, and it has a bar at the bottom. You put the four components, so you have four pieces that make a shtender. 1, 2, 3, and 4. And if you want, we'll say there's a fifth one. This is this piece over here that stops the safe from coming down. Otherwise, you don't have a shtender. Right? This is the crowning part of the shtender, is this last piece that stops everything from slipping. But if you want a shtender, you need five pieces. But there's always a sixth piece. There's always a sixth dimension. What's the sixth dimension? It's a shtender. Right? The idea, in other words, the Kailel says that one piece of wood plus two other pieces of wood plus a metal bar plus a thin strip of wood on its own is nothing, but the Kailel, what puts it all together, that is what turns it into a shtender. Shtender is the ring that binds them. Shtender is the thing that turns everything and makes it into one. But the word shtender itself is nothing, because there is no shtender component. The shtender component itself is zero, but the shtender component is also everything. So you have 1 to 5 are real things, and each one its own is going nowhere, but then you have a sixth component that in itself is nothing. There's no, you don't go and buy the shtender, the sixth, I need a sixth component for this, you don't buy it, but together, the sixth component puts everything together, and may, oh, you finally arrived. Baruch Hashem, I waited for you, Alex, I really did. So this number six puts everything together and says what you have is a shtender. Now, I want you to show you something. There's a famous line in Kabbalah. When I say famous line of Kabbalah, there's such things as a famous line of Kabbalah. Menachem Nissel knows these things because I see them quoted a lot in later Sfarim. The latest one quote, and that's the word that Melech Les Naimi Degar Meklum, right? A king has nothing for himself. A king is nothing. David HaMelech was the greatest king, and David HaMelech was always the Daloisi Veli Yeshua. I have nothing, and everything is yours. A king has nothing. What does it mean, a king has nothing? A king is everything. Parah said itself, right? Raka kisei egdal mimcha. By the way, that's the aimik of that pasuk. He said there's three parts of a king. He was giving Yosef the Medina and the Muhammad, but he kept the kisei. But he says, but he called himself, I am the one because I am the nation. Right? I want to remain the nation. I am the echad that's ma'achid the whole people. So the king on his own has absolutely nothing. All he does is take the millions of components that make up a nation and turn them into one and say you have a nation. So the king on its own is nothing. He doesn't exist. But the king is absolutely everything. The king is Kailel, the whole nation, and turns it into one. You see this many other examples like that. You see that, so to speak, the head of an orchestra, he himself does not even play music. But the whole orchestra is a function of the conductor. I guess you could also say the manager of a sports team, what do you call them? The coach. There we go, okay? So without the coach, you have nothing. I don't know what happens in American sports, but in real sports, and the way it works in England, is that you see that they switch coaches and they become the same players suddenly become a winning team. What happens? Because the coach knows how to turn them all individuals into a team. Something apparently the Yankees have never discovered, but this is something. It's the ability to take towns and turn every single part, and bring out their koach and turn them into one. That's called the melech is the kedel. The melech is the thing that's ma'achid everything. And now we can understand something about the word melech and why the word melech is connected to the word shalom. So what does shalom mean? What does it mean when something has peace? What exactly is the aim of shalom? Shalom means that I am not something for myself. I am part of this thing called, all right, fill it in, I'm my soccer team, my baseball team, my orchestra, or my country. Shalom means that I submit myself to a higher authority. I'm not going to play for myself. I'm going to be played as part of a team. I'm not going to be my own person. I'm going to be a citizen in my country. And to do that, I need someone who brings out the shlemus of all the different components. And together they become one. So the melech takes his medina, and the melech makes every single component harmonized with every single other component, and together you have a functioning country. Now what happens if somebody says, I don't want to play my part? What happens if somebody says, I want to do my own thing, I don't want to fit in the way the king wants you to fit in? What would happen if an orchestra, if a guy says, I don't want to play my instrument, or I do want to play my instrument, but I want to play my own little solo whenever I want? So the conductor is going to work against you. And in football, right, Yossi, what happens if a quarterback, does not want to follow the instructions when the guy does those squiggly lines that you used to do in morning Seder, right? What happens? He what? He becomes a receptionist. What does that mean? He loses. Okay. So whatever Yossi says is true. Because when it comes to football, he knows. He really knows. So this is the point. The point is that the king, that's what he does. The king has to be the melech b'mulchamtei, because the king basically imposes his peace on all the people in front of him. Now look how beautiful this is. Can you see this fits in? Why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Why was the last Beis HaMikdash destroyed? Sinat Chinam, okay? Now, what's Sinat Chinam got to do with the kids, okay? At least someone's awake over here. It was destroyed because of sin. What's Sinat Chinam going to do with the structure of the Beis HaMikdash? Beis HaMikdash is the palace of the king. Now, a king needs a country to work with each other. To work with each other, he needs every component to agree that they will work with everybody else. Now, if I say, I want to be me, and I want you to be you, and I want you to be you, and I want each one, I want David to bring out his Davidness, and his Yossi to bring out his Yossi, and the Avery to bring out his Averyness. And each one works with each other, so together we have what's called a Malchus, and everything can work. But if you're going to do your own thing, if you're going to say whatever I want to do, and I don't like what you have because I think I should have that, so the king becomes redundant. The reason why the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed is because Sinas Chinam is the opposite of the whole concept of Shalom, which is the underpinning of every Malchus. So if there's Sinas Chinam, Memela, okay, if everyone's playing their own instruments, so Memela there's no conductor, Memela there's no orchestra. If everyone has Sinas Chinam, Memela there's no Malchus, and Memela there's no Beis HaMikdash. That's how the whole thing works. The idea in every battle is that the winner is the one that can make all the different components under him become part of who he is. I don't know if I taught this to you this year. Shana, bad people, I think I said this over last year. What is the goal of every war? You know what it is? If you heard this from me, you for sure remember this. Because what is the goal? Is it to defeat the enemy? No, right? It's not the goal of every war is not to defeat the. The goal of every war is to eat the enemy. Think about it, Josh. The goal of every war is cannibalism. Ask the beast. Okay, it is to eat your enemy. If you don't believe me, what's the Hebrew word for war? Mochon. What's the Hebrew word for food? Lechem. Okay, bread is lechem. You have every single word of war also involves eating your enemy. It's just the way it is. There's example after example. The word shvir is to break someone. Shever is one of the words for food. If you have a battle, is a krav. Kirva means bringing everything near. There's many examples of this thing. A ma'achelas is a knife. Ochel is food. That's the way these things go. But the idea is to follow every single word without exception. Involving with war is also connecting and eating and bringing it in. So Isaac's thinking, this is not the way they did it in Syria. But they did. Trust me. They didn't like their enemy, they used to eat them. This is the way these things were. The pshat is as follows. You've got to learn from the Han Chinese. The Han Chinese, unlike those pathetic Europeans, in Europe, so you have every 100 years, England goes to France and wins the war, and Germany goes to France and wins the war. The whole of European history is England and Germany basically beating France. But the French are still here to annoy us because we never ate them. To ate them means you got to go into the country like the Chinese did to any dissenting dominion and send in millions of your own people to marry and to thing and to settle in until eventually, after a few generations, they become part of you. And that's what happens. That's what's called. When you eat the enemy ceases to exist. It becomes part of who you are. And the ultimate melech is the melech that wages war against every single component of his own Medina, and it all becomes part of him. It all becomes an extension of the king itself. The king imposes himself, so everything becomes a part of him. Rabbi said, look how beautiful this is. We say, at the end of the Shmona Esrei, Sim Shalom. Sim Shalom is a Kodesh Baruch Hu. We want your malchus to be so powerful, to be so strong, that the word sim means to impose. It means bring your malchus. Be a melech do mulchamtoi. Be a king that takes every component and makes it part of them. Now, how does a king of a Kodesh Baruch Hu stature impose his malchus? Very simple. That is what we call ha'aretz panim. Ha'aretz panim means if we all bathe in your light, if we all a function of what's called the keach haruchani of a Kodesh Baruch Hu that he brings into this world. So the memela, everything is going to work in place, everything is going to be in harmony with everybody else. It's the power of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. The word ha'aretz panim, ki ba'ar panecha Hashem alakenu, right? Borchenu avinu, tata, give us the bracha of ha'aretz panim. When it's ha'aretz panim, everything is automatically falls into place underneath you. You see, the end of the Shmona Esrei, the climax of the Shmona Esrei, is not a need. We don't ask Hashem Baruch Hu to give us something. We're asking for a state of hodah. We're asking for a state of where Hashem Baruch Hu's milchama is menatzeach. The word hodah means much more than thank you. The word hodah means we submit ourselves in front of you. And that memela brings peace. We become components of the shtenda. We become members of Hashem's orchestra. We become part of his, for Yossi's sake, his football team. Where everyone is playing their instrument and becoming together, I'm sorry, Alex, part of the basketball team. Where everyone is playing underneath the coach in harmony. That is Ha'aretz Panim. And that is the ultimate shalom. And that is why it's at the very end of the Shmona Esrei. Because it's not a need. It's not a request like food and parnasa. And it's not a need like we should be able to bring out the Geula Shleima. Hashem should forgive us for our sins. It's rather an imposition of a state of being where every single part of this world becomes underneath him, where everything is submitted unto his will. The ultimate shalom, at the end of days, is when even the Ra becomes submitted underneath the Kodesh Baruch Hu. I can't go into this now, but this is the tremendous aimik of what the Baal HaTorah brings down, that Esav is Gematria Shalom. One of the most shocking gematrias out there. But Esau, which is the source of all evil, gematria shalom means, if you want shalom to extend to all four corners of the universe, then the Ra has to be defeated, and the Ra also has to be ultimately under the Ha'aretz Panim of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Everything has to be submitted underneath his will. So I want to conclude over here. Every day, you and I say three Shmona Esrei. And every day, like many, many examples in our davening, davening always ends either with a mention of Malchus or a mention of Shalom. You go through all the different parts, whether it's Yishtabach or Nishmas or all the different things that we say. You have a look. We end up either invoking Malchus, invoking Shalom, but the idea is one and the same. And everything we do in this world, and all the struggles and all the fights that we have, is ultimately to be able to submit ourselves in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu could impose what's called this Pax Americana with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where everything is imposed on it. There used to be a Pax Romanus, right? Rome wanted to impose, but that was with the Koyach of Ra, and everything should be submitted. We have one that has the Pax of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and the name of that orchestra underneath his conductor is called, the name of the symphony that the world's going to play then is called Hashem Echad. Hashem Echad is ultimately the name of the symphony, where everything becomes a function and a component of the Kodesh Baruch Hu's Malchus. This is the end of the road, and this is where everything goes. This time of the year, where you go to the lunch table in Teres Shraga and people are arguing about Hashkafa issues. Now let's just pretend that there's Eli Ve'el. Let's pretend that everyone's giving a valid viewpoint. I don't know if it's true. Okay, David Lachey is for sure. It's not true. But let's say these are different valid viewpoints. But you understand something. When the Melech walks in, all these things become irrelevant. And that's what Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky once said so beautifully, that everyone has a degel. But the degel can only be given to you after the Mishkan is built. And you have a look, the degel we got in Parshas Bamidbar. Parshas Bamidbar is when finally, the Mishkan is there. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shechina is down with us, then the individualism works in harmony with everybody else and doesn't work in contrast with everybody else. And here we come to the end of our year. It's just a couple of weeks over here. I have 4 or 5 shots to be able to talk to you and to teach you some Torah over here on Thursday nights. And this is something that we need to reflect on to the rest of our lives. When you come to Shalom and you look around the world, all the tzaras that we have, all we really need is Ha'aretz Panim, or Oisei Shalom Bimroimov, only Bimroimov. There's no such thing as Shalom down here. There's never going to be peace between Israel and its neighbors without HaKadosh Baruch Hu bringing His Shechina down into this place. When the Shechina is down here and we all submit ourselves under, so that's the moment the Shalom comes true. So if you really want Shalom and you really want the end of Shemoneh Esrei to come true, so you know where you have to start? It's with yourself, David. This is the way it is. Okay, you begin with yourself. You begin with submitting yourself. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're the Melech B'Melchamtei, and you have vanquished me. I am just an extension of you. My Ratzon is just to do your Ratzon. Nothing else. That is the ultimate Hodah. That is the ultimate Hodah. The greatest thank you is this submission, that everything is given over to you. And all I can tell you is Rabbi Yisai, if you can submit yourself, if every single one of us can submit themselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and every single one of us can really want to be tachas ha'aretz panav to the exclusion of anything else, then the Shalom will come to all of Klal Yisrael, and then there'll be once again the ki'ish echad b'lev echad that we're leading up to here with our sphira, and once again we can makabel the tzair with the coming of Mashiach b'mehera v'yameinu. Thank you. Next week's the last week. Don't miss it on Shemoneh Esrei. L'chaim Nitzar, grand finale. Thank you. Thank you.